powerful way that it just made an impression. I had never experienced that before. And so every time I have baptism, I get excited. And it was God's way, I guess, of preparing me for the baptisms that I would participate in and to bring that sense of anticipation. So I want to dedicate my words today to the people who are being baptized. And there is a link, and I won't have time to refer to it at every point. But there are numerous points. My whole message really is appropriate or applicable to baptism, and we'll see if you can figure out how I came to that conclusion, and we'll tease you with that. Well, we're doing our journeys at Christmas. The biblical Christmas story is filled with journeys. People were crisscrossing that ancient country of Palestine in every direction at Christmas time, and so we're picking up on some of those themes and recognizing that it applies to us in our busy world. And there was a real stir in the country at Christmas. And my prayer is that God will stir our hearts here today and touch our hearts. And so let me read the story of the shepherds, that journey, and we'll go from there. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds' story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angels had told them. Well, most of you that are part of this church know that Diane and I were gone for a month and a bit in the USA. We're in Phoenix. That's our go-to place. And while we were in Phoenix for this month, we listened to the local news there. But rarely does Canada appear on the news, on the media over there. We heard very little news about Canada, except in this case, it did make the news quite often. We kept hearing about Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto. He made the news in the USA in a big way. And I was most interested in one little report about this interesting mayor of Toronto. And that was, he was quoted as saying that he had quit drinking and that he had had a kind of come to Jesus moment in his life. Well, that sounded very good to me, and it's hopeful, isn't it? When someone says they've had a come to Jesus, wouldn't that be a good sign? I think it's a problem. Now, time will tell what that means for the mayor of Toronto, but let's be hopeful and let's pray for the guy that this come to Jesus, that he'll change it from a kind of come to Jesus moment to a genuine come to Jesus moment, and that the moment will become a lifetime experience for him. Well, the story before us, the shepherds, they had a genuine come to Jesus experience when they went to Bethlehem to see it, and their lives were changed. For my message this morning, I have only one point. I realized that we would have the baptism, and so, you know, I thought, well, I will make sure that I can get everything I want to say off in the amount of time allotted to me. And I thought the best way to do that is just to try to make one point. And that point is, when we come to Jesus, our lives will be enriched. Our lives will be enhanced. Our lives will change for the better. God wants us to have the fullness of life, and fullness of life comes by from Jesus. And so we're going to look at the story of the shepherds and their coming to Jesus moment. Oh yes, in the outline I have 3 points, but really it's just one big point. And I'm going to repeat myself quite a bit here, but I always feel better if I have an outline, even though I only have 1 point. But to kind of come at it from different angles. But coming to Jesus is what it's all about. And really, it is my prayer that all of us will have a come to Jesus experience here today. In your heart, that you'll come to Jesus in a new way. And that Jesus will stir your heart. And that you will bear fruit of the changes that he wants to see, and the changes that he made in the shepherd's life. So here's what happened to the shepherds, or part of what happens to the shepherds. You know, it's never comprehensive. But first of all, coming to Jesus changes our identity. See, the shepherds had an identity change. Now, it isn't stated in the text, but when you read the story, you can see that the guys who were half asleep nodding off on the fields of Bethlehem, they're so different from the ones who are coming back out of Bethlehem after they've been to Jesus. After they've come to Jesus, they walked taller and they felt different. They viewed themselves differently because they had been to Jesus. So you have to read between the lines in the Luke account, but there is a wonderful proof text in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, which tells us that when we have a genuine come to Jesus experience, where we give our life to Jesus, invite Jesus into our life, and we saw it illustrated 3 times over here of people who made that declaration, we receive a new identity when we come to Jesus. And the proof text is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. That's a new identity. And when we embrace, Jesus wants to just lift us. See, the shepherds, they were at the low end of the social pecking order. It was not an enviable career that you aspire to. No, if there was nothing else left for you to do, you became a shepherd. And so it didn't have much class attached to it. And they were a despised lot. But these shepherds were given a new identity. So he asks, why were these shepherds chosen? Well, it fits the story, doesn't it? Why Mary? Why Bethlehem? The least of the cities in Judah. But it announces that God is introducing a new order. God's kingdom is a new order where everyone has equal opportunity to receive the full blessing of God and to be used of God. Remember the parable that we talked about here in last summer? If you don't go to church in summer, you miss a lot. And so in the last summer, we talked about the parables, and one of them was the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Do you remember the new insight we came up with there? That sometimes we think about, okay, the ones that push themselves to the front are going to get punished and sent to the back of the line, and the one at the back of the line that are beauty, humble and modest, they're going to be ushered and rewarded to the front of the line. But I don't think that's the lesson. You know, Jesus is saying, no, in this new kingdom, there is no first, there is no last. We're all equal. Everyone is on the same playing field here. And so the shepherds who were at the bottom of the social order are all of a sudden just pulled up and given this whole new status on par with what the humans thinking would judge to be the upper levels of society. And so there is this tremendous good news. When we come to Jesus, we embrace this whole new value that God places on us. I don't know to what extent you can identify with the self-doubt and thinking you're not worthy or inadequate and you're not living up to, the potential of people. But the Christmas story certainly brings good news to you to the extent that you can. I do know that when it comes to the spiritual realm, there's so many Christians that feel so down on themselves. And they feel that God isn't going to give them a full blessing because their faith is so weak or because their failures are so many. And so they surely couldn't expect that God's love and grace would be upon them full measure. But that's wrong. God wants all of us to embrace this new identity and to realize our sins are covered. And so all we have to do is just keep receiving that forgiveness and walking in faith, knowing that God wants each one of us to receive His blessing in a full measure. He wants us to embrace that identity. One of the books I read on our vacation was a book entitled Classic Christianity by Bob George. A friend of mine, pressed it into my hand and said, I'll give it to you if you promise you'll read it. I said, yes, I'll take it, I'll read it. I was powerfully impressed by this book. Just 200 pages. And it really talks about the meaning of salvation from a grace-filled perspective. And again, I was just moved and inspired by what God's grace is. And especially there was a section on identity, our identity in Christ, and how we can have this. He tells the story of the Kennedy JFK years in the White House. When JFK, there hadn't been children in the White House for a long time, and so John Kennedy became president. He brought his young family there, and his oldest son was, I don't know, a preschooler or a kindergartner, and there was a ritual every morning. This little John would come running down the halls of the White House, and he'd walk past security guard after armed security guard, and he'd bust right into the Oval Office where his dad was hosting a meeting. It didn't matter what was happening in the Oval Office. John could walk right in, and no one dared stop. He'd walk in, and his dad would pause the meeting. All the dignitaries would just have to wait. And he'd jump up in his dad's lap, and they'd have their little good morning hug and kiss and send each other off. And the point was, if someone would have wanted to stop John from going in there, he would have just said, "That's my dad. He wants me to come in there." And what a beautiful picture it is of our approach to God. God wants us to have this confidence in our new identity that we're forgiven, we're accepted, we're fully loved, and it's not performance-based. And so, the more we understand that, of course, the more we will try to live up to that new identity, but it is a powerful picture that we see in the shepherds here, that they went from being nameless shepherds to being uniquely qualified ambassadors of the kingdom, and were sharing. They became God's public relations department of sharing and announcing the news, and it truly is an amazing story of how God lifted them up. So if you feel down on yourself and you feel you don't matter, you're unimportant, you don't have much potential, then read the Christmas story and grasp it and say, that's why Jesus came, to just lift up, pick up people. Bob George, I wanted to mention this too about Bob George. He does counseling, and he says there are times when people, Christians, had come to him clinically depressed, in deep depression, and he would take them through their identity, what their biblical standing before God is. In some cases, clinical depression disappeared, basically from an understanding of our identity and how much God values us and loves us uniformly, everyone, how it applies to everyone. And so it shows you the power of how we view ourselves and our identity in Christ. And so that's one of the points I see here in this story. Well, the second facet, the second point I'm making here on this one-point sermon is coming to Jesus changes our mood and attitude. And for the shepherds, we could say it went from fear to joy and from boredom to enthusiasm. Yeah, I can't think of any more boring job than being a shepherd. In fact, I have been a shepherd of cows on the farm in Manitoba. Once in a while, we'd let the cows graze along the roadway and we'd have to herd them. And that was the worst job. I would rather do anything else on the farm than herd cows. It was so boring because you can only throw clumps of clay at the hydro pole for so long to amuse yourself. But anyway, so shepherd, I think being a shepherd is a boring, boring business. But so they are there dozing off. But all of a sudden, these bored shepherds are filled with enthusiasm. And their first response is fear, and that's changed to joy. Now, how often we are filled with fear? But as it turned out, there was nothing to be afraid of. Most of our fears really fall into that category, which reminds me of a little Zig Ziglar slogan. He says the acrostic he has for fear is false evidence appearing real. And so something bad appeared to them. And so many of our fears are really not that valid. They'll just melt away in the greater scheme of God's grace and God's love. So these shepherds, they have their whole attitude changed toward life and toward how they viewed themselves, their identity. We already talked about that. And then they go, after they've had this come to Jesus moment, they are telling everybody about Jesus. They're witnessing. The last time I spoke here was just before I left for our little trip, and we were talking about witnessing, and I think one of the points, if I remember correctly, and if I can't remember it, how would you, right? Isn't that something? The point that I tried to make was effective witnessing comes not when you do it because you're supposed to. The shepherds weren't telling everybody because they were told to do it. Effective witnessing comes when it flows out of your heart. If you've had a come to Jesus moment and Jesus has changed your life, then witnessing comes naturally. And that's the only kind of effective witness you can have if it comes out of your connection. If you've had that come to Jesus moment and let him change. Well, these shepherds have had this changing and they're telling everybody. And what was the response? Everybody's just astonished. They're just astonished. Wow, we can't believe it. These shepherds, I can't believe their enthusiasm. They have a new attitude and a new excitement about life, and that's what God wants to give us. So many Christians really don't quite get it. I mean, they don't realize how much we have to be excited about and enthusiastic about and energized about. When we're driving, my wife is an avid reader. And so sometimes she starts laughing. I said, "What are you laughing at?" Well, she'll read segments for me. And when we're driving on to Phoenix, she said, "Listen to this, Peter." I said, "Mark that page. I'm going to use that in a sermon." So I'm going to do something here today that I've never done before in my pastoral career, and that I'm going to read several paragraphs from Anne of Green Gables by Lucy Maud Montgomery. I want to be like Wayne. He often brings interesting books up here and reads them for me. So this is my imitating Wayne moment here. Here is Anne of Green Gables. Anne is having a conversation with Marilla. And Mrs. Allen is the new pastor's wife, and she is Anne's Sunday school teacher. And so she talks about Mrs. Allen, who is the Sunday school teacher, and she also makes a brief reference to Mr. Bell, who is a Sunday school superintendent. And let me find my glasses for this here. So here is Anne talking. "Mrs. Allen said that we ought always to try to influence other people for good. She talked so nice about everything. I never knew that religion was such a cheerful thing. I always thought it was kind of melancholy because Mrs. Allen isn't. And I'd like to be a Christian if I could be one like her. I wouldn't want to be one like Mr. Superintendent Bell." "It's very naughty of you to speak so about Mr. Bell," Marilla said. "Mr. Bell is a real good man." "Oh, of course he's good," said Anne. But he doesn't seem to get any comfort out of it. If I could be good, I'd dance and sing all day because I was glad of it. I suppose Mrs. Allen is too old to dance and sing, and of course it wouldn't be dignified in a minister's wife, but I can feel that she's glad she's a Christian, and that she'd be one even if she could get to heaven without it. This is a delightful little segment, and I missed a lot by not reading Anne books. And if I could go back, maybe I could round out my education by reading some Anne books. But, you know, in the Christmas season, we need more people like Mrs. Allen, right? You know, when we've had to come to Jesus, it is logical that we would feel that way. And skip too many moments, it's easier to play the superintendent, Mr. Bell's moment. Yes, a genuine come-to-Jesus experience will produce Mrs. Allen-type characteristics in us. And so that's what we want to do. Well, I wrap up by saying that coming to Jesus changes our future from bleak to bright, from unknown to known. The shepherds, they walk home. And I love what it says about the shepherds. And it's a very important point in the come-to-Jesus experience as we apply it to our lives. It says of the shepherds, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So they've had this marvelous mountaintop experience, and then what happened? Back to the fields, back to being a shepherd. See, having a come to Jesus transformational experience does not immediately usher us into heaven. We have to go back to real life. We have to go back to our family, to our marriage, to our jobs, to our community, to our difficulties, to our challenges. But it will all look different because we've been to Jesus. We have His presence. We have His power. And He wants us to view it differently. And the shepherds went back praising and glorifying. So they had a whole new way of looking. They had a bright future because they knew Jesus would be with them. We have a bright future because God is with us. Well, I want to close by inviting you to intentionalize a come to Jesus moment in your life right now. You can do it right where you are, sitting in your chair. You know, actually, coming to Jesus, we need to come to Jesus as a starting point somewhere where we can drive a stake and say that at that point I gave my life to Jesus. That's good. But after that, we need to keep coming to Jesus every day. And maybe many times in a day. And so here in this Christmas season, I invite us here, all of us here today, to let's just say, yes, I want to come to Jesus. The words of a song kept coming through to my heart, and Ronyell promise that sometime he's going to stuff to get him to do it. I know he would do a fantastic job of singing the song, the hymn, I Will Tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. And then the chorus, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. And so I've asked Kevin and Wayne and Kim, a member of our elders team here, to come and be prayer stations. And you can have a come to Jesus moment where you are, but maybe you just need to raise it just to another level and do it in community. Maybe there's something on your heart that you came with today that's burdening you and it's been on your heart. Coming to Jesus, maybe you're coming to Jesus with your sins. They might be little sins, big sins, habitual sins, or occasional sins, or binge things, or whatever. Jesus can help you. He can forgive you and release you. Maybe you want to come to Jesus with your worries and fears. You're worried about your health or someone else's health, your finances, or your family, your children. Bring it to Jesus. Tell Jesus, have a come to Jesus and be in community together. Maybe it's a marriage. Difficult. Maybe you have to, if you're really honest, you'd have to admit that you've kind of given up on your marriage. And you're kind of just waiting to see what's going to happen. It's nothing good is going to happen unless you proactively just say, I'm going to renew, have a come to Jesus moment and ask Jesus to give me new love and new patience and forgiveness and new ability to enjoy what God has for us. On the marriage front, on the cover of this book, there's a bunch of little quotes. And this one really caught my attention. It says, you can nearly always enjoy things if you make up your mind firmly that you will. Now, how many times, I have to admit there are times Diane wanted to do something and I didn't want to do it. And I didn't have this quote. I wish I would have had this quote. I should have just said, you can nearly always enjoy things if you make up your mind firmly that you will. As we come to Jesus, He gives us this desire and this ability to just choose to love, choose to be patient. So whatever you want to come to Jesus with, maybe the Spirit has touched you in some way unrelated to what I've said. But we want to give you the invitation to come and have a come to Jesus moment, because we know from the one-point sermon, good things happen if we come to Jesus. It always enriches. It always makes us better. It always lifts us. And so I'm going to ask Raniel, come on up. This is it. I'm wrapping up the service. But somebody's going to play some music, right? Yeah, so that's right. They empowered me. Wayne empowered me to close the service right after the service. But we will, Kevin, you come, and Wayne, you come, and we're going to play some music. And we have this new soundboard. It's got that's amazing what it can do. They can play music on there. And we're going to have some music here. Let's stand, and I'm going to pray. And then you come to Jesus if you want to have anybody pray for you. Lord, we thank you.